If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. A natural nurse in a toxic world. Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy Sunday, you natural nurse army and our one seaman out there. It's the 21st of April. I find it hard to believe because I do see blue skies, but it's freezing. I had to put the heating on this morning. Very reluctant to put the heating on. I'd rather wear several more layers, but of course my daughter's here, so I have to. Normally I'm a stinge bag. I judged the temperature in my house by whether the cats are curled up in a ball or whether they're stretched out. That's my thermometer for my house. Anyway, what a week it's been, yet again in the press, but you guys are smart. You're not listening to any of that nonsense. You're not letting it take you into the depths of despair because you're listening to me. You've been out this morning, you've earthed yourself on the lawn, you've done your first big pee and whatever else of the day, or in other parts of the world where you contact me from, you're maybe getting ready to go to bed, but you've had your juices, you've had your organic food, you're thinking about growing all your food after listening to my guest last week, you're getting on with it all, and you will get through this. But let's just look at the, I don't even want to call it the press, and just digressing because I know you like to hear what I'm doing in my life. And listen, for all of you offering me your hand in marriage, thank you. I've made an extra special effort today just for you. But look, I went out yesterday down to the coast again with my daughter, and I went for a little walk around these gardens. You all know I'm a Christian. And I don't know whether it's the alignment or whatever it is, or whether these things are sent to irritate me, but there was this rather handsome man. Now, I don't find anybody handsome these days. I don't know why my handsome antenna's gone way out the window after the COVID con, because I don't care whether you've got your teeth fixed in Turkey, your tattoos, you're pumped up with iron, you were all sitting on your backsides when the women were at the front of those rallies. Most of you blokes were armchair warriors. So that gene in me to look for a fella went out the window. But I saw this bloke, he was quite attractive. He had a couple of dogs, and we started to have a chat about the dogs. And I sort of looked at him and thought, he's quite nice. Anyway, we chatted more. He asked me what I did. I mean, what do I do? Lots of things. And I asked him what he did. He mentioned something, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't have a TV. I said, what is it you do? He was a BBC journalist. I thought, oh my word, these things are so sent to irritate me. But anyway, he was rather pleasant, but I have my values. What has been in the press this week, in all I can talk about is clown word. And just whilst I say it, I'm waiting for someone to bring out the new book. Forget Where's Wally, it's Where's Kate Middleton. Still no sign of her. Breast milk. In the very area where I live, Sussex, apparently, biological men, you can call yourselves whatever you like. I don't care what you want to say you are. I don't have to believe it. If you want to dress in a skirt, I don't care. It's up to you. I wear trousers and skirts. I don't care. But this I do care about. I know that when I was a trained and qualified independent nurse to prescriber, you have to be very, very careful with pregnant women when giving them drugs, or women that are breastfeeding, because those drugs will be carried in the breast milk. So why are biological men being given drugs to produce milk, breast milk, that's being fed to the babies in the premature baby unit, SCABU? And they've actually said it's as good as women's milk. I don't see how that is possible, because those drugs that will stimulate the pituitary and everything else that this man is taking are going to be in that breast milk. What could possibly go wrong? But more to the point, are the women that are having these babies being told that that breast milk comes from a bloke? I doubt it. But please do feel free to write in Kate Shimarani at tntradio.live and tell me. I'd like to know. I do like freedom of speech, freedom of breast milk. Please tell me. Then we get on to James Whale. I'm really sad to hear about James Whale. He called me that ridiculous woman for comparing the NHS staff to the Nazis. He calls himself a journalist. If he was a real journalist, he would have done his due diligence and saw that I didn't call any of the NHS staff that. I reminded them to not do the government's dirty work, get off that bus, because remember we had the vaccine buses going round the festivals where we all know that our youth might want to dally in spliffs and whatever else they want to do, and drinking alcohol, so they cannot make a true informed consent. So what the hell was a vaccine bus with nurses on it doing at such events, offering vaccines, COVID shots? Preposterous. They broke their code of professional conduct and they broke the law. And James Whale called me a ridiculous woman. He didn't do his due diligence. He called us all anti-vaxxers. He had quite a few of those vaccines himself. He's now terminal with lung cancer. But he was given an MBE last week. If I was offered an MBE, I really would write back and say, you can shove that where the sun don't shine. I don't want to be a member of your empire, because I'm in my own one, in the Savage Reservation. Utopia and the British Empire is not where I want to be right now, talking about that. Now, sorry, James Whale, but you want to listen to this show, because the lady that I've got on, you might have something. Instead of just accepting the propaganda and your fate, there might be something else that you could do. Please do feel free to email me. Pass this show on to James Whale. Anyway, look, we're also told in the mainstream media today of a lady who had lymphoma, didn't listen to the doctors at all, pushed them away. I think it was 2.5 years later, did a juicing diet. That's all they said. And that she was admitted to hospital as an emergency, and it took them 9 or 10 days to convince her, and she had chemotherapy. Now she's in remission and she's saying, you know, she shouldn't have done that. Well, look, this is about giving you a fear factor in the press. We've got right now on both sides of the media, the mainstream media and even the alternative media, I believe that there is too much fear-mongering and not enough solutions. I also know that this incredible body that you were given to drive around and enjoy this life in has the ability to heal if you give it all of the right circumstances. But what's happening right now, we're being told turbo cancers, vax injured. Yes, they are injured. But a lot of them must have already been injured, because cancer in the UK and America is 1 in 2 will receive a cancer diagnosis in their lifetime. All of the main charities, such as Cancer Research UK, or known as Crook, how fitting, they're stating it on their website, and they expect within the next couple of decades that figure to increase to 100%. That's 100% of the population. That's all your kids, your family, my kids will receive a cancer diagnosis in their lifetime. So what does that mean? Well, all of the COVID vaccine makers switched at the end of last year and this year to oncology drugs, which make billions in revenue, billions. And the profit is incredible. All of these things, you are just being fed. So the same people who are now saying, I'm not having any more COVID shots, are in terror. And they will go to the same oncologists, even those ones that are speaking out, and have the same drugs and possibly face the same outcome. Now, I don't like any of that. I had cancer 12 years ago, very aggressive and deadly. And after surgery, I followed the full Gerson therapy after declining chemotherapy, radiotherapy, tamoxifen and Zoladex, my choice. I'm not telling anyone else to do it. I had a scientist for a husband who was fantastic at researching. He found the Gerson therapy. He found B17, vitamin B17. You've had John Richardson on here. You know all about G. Edward Griffin. and his book, The Truth About Cancer. But during that time, he found me a practitioner. She wasn't a doctor. She was a harpist and a herbalist. And she got herself onto the Gerson training and was so brilliant at it with doctors that she ended up rewriting their training. She became my practitioner. And I'll tell you, she then became my teacher because I enrolled on her courses. I embraced every book that she ever recommended and papers that she wrote. When you all say to me, and I've got so many all over the world, how do I know the things I know? I know it because of this woman. This woman knows more than anybody I have ever met. How much do I trust her? I sent her my daughter, and my daughter trusts her. When you have a storm coming into shore, you will have the rage of those waves with froth and anger beating away at the coastline. But behind those waves is a calm, forceful sea that keeps itself together and drives forward and doesn't lose its head when everyone else does. That's what she is. She's a calm, driving force that was trusted by the Australian government. Ladies and gentlemen, you loved this woman when I brought her on the last time. Catherine Alexander is with me today, and she's going to navigate us through all of this, because I can tell you right now, she is the head of Health Commons. She runs courses. She's an author of loads of books. She's got patients all over the world. And she's going to unpack the broad changes in consumer attitudes to the health system over the last 35 years of practice. And she's going to tell you solutions of how you navigate it. Enough of me. Catherine, welcome back to the Kate Shimarani Show. It's a great honor that you're here. You are the reason I'm alive and well today, because you guided me and kept me calm.
Oh, thanks, Kate. That was such a lovely introduction. I'm very pleased to be here. You know, I was thinking about the change in consumer attitudes over the last 35 years. And I have to say that it's very, very depressing and it's very disappointing, because what we have now is with the young people is the new normal. And that has been because of the intensive grooming for people to accept that one in two will get cancer, not only to accept it, but to see it as inevitable. Now, if that had happened in the 1970s, our parents would have been saying, that's not right. We're not having that. We're going to do something. We're going to find out what the causes are. We're going to protect our children. But what we've got now is a commoditization of ill health. So it's no longer a health system where the intent is no harm or to do the very best for your patients, but it is to channel them down a system where they're taking a massive amount of pharmaceuticals, surgeries, and anything else that's on offer. I mean, I've been following, you know, when the NHS had this report that they commissioned on their practices with transgender, you know, whether the children and the young adolescents were sufficiently informed to make a decision on the way forward. And what they found, it was such a slamming report. What they actually said is that the health system and everybody in it is driving blind, because they do not know what the predicted outcomes will be. And what they feel, the researchers, they say, well, when more children, when we can see the long-term effects, then we will know. We're talking about our children here being used as guinea pigs in broad daylight. So I think this is what makes me so angry. It's the complacency of health consumers to buy into this and to, I mean, most health consumers only shout when they don't get what they need, when they need it. because they feel that it's an entitlement. I mean, there was a case of a young woman with lymphoma that was diagnosed during pregnancy this week. So it was in the newspapers, on the news, effective form of grooming where she's not upset. She just says, oh, well, I won't be able to do the things I was going to do with my new baby because I'll be on chemo. But hey, everybody, my odds are quite good. So it's a grooming story. They don't mention the numbers of women who have breast cancer during the first few months having had their baby. So when they're breastfeeding, suddenly we've got huge amounts of young women with breast cancer, all having chemotherapy. All right, and just the use of tamoxifen on these women.
Disgusting drug.
They'll give you tamoxifen so that it will prevent the cancer coming back. What tamoxifen does, when I was being, because I've been practicing a long time.
Catherine, can I just... This is such a big topic now, tamoxifen, and I'm so glad you brought it up. Let's just have a quick word from our sponsors, because we are going to go into tamoxifen, because I wouldn't touch that. I wouldn't even give it to my dogs, which is what it was first of all given to. It was given to animals, then pregnant women and children. But the guy who developed it said it should never be used for human consumption. Quick word from our sponsors. You're going to get on and buy some TNT socks. Then you're going to join me back, the fabulous natural nurse in a toxic world, for TNT.
TNT's Joseph Arthur.
There was already lines being drawn in the sand because there was people resisting every step of the way. I was one of them.
So when we get back,
I was resisting the mask and I was like questioning that openly on social media, and old friends were going like, you know, calling me an idiot and all this other stuff.
The data coming out of Israel showing that there was basically no efficacy with this vaccine with the Delta variant. And so we knew what was coming. And at that point, we thought that the health agencies were actually going to try to be honest with the public and say, okay, the vaccines actually didn't work. We've got this new variant, you know, and try to maneuver out of it, which would then open up the door a little bit for the mainstream to go, oh, there's people being harmed. We've got some problems here. Okay, let's start talking about this. But instead, what they did is they doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on their narrative, as you saw, and they fueled this all-out war against the people like yourself who were awake. They saw the BS coming from a mile away, and they were just asking questions.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk TNT.
The Lights is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
It's time to switch on
today's News Talk Radio.
Very entertaining.
Yeah! TNT.
I'm Kate Shimarani for TNT Live with my fabulous guest, Catherine Alexander. I hope you didn't miss the first segment, but we are talking about how people are being brainwashed. I'm calling it brainwashed. That's my words. By propaganda into accepting that the government are your mummy and daddy and they love you, and that the healthcare system is there for your health, and that you have absolutely no authority over your own health and well-being, which is simply not true. You are turning into gibbering babies when you should be taking full responsibility and avoiding disease. Catherine, just before the break, you brought up the topic, a topic that I'm very vicious about, tamoxifen. Please continue on what you were saying, because you were talking about people, you know, just accepting and then getting breast cancer as soon as their babies are born and being on tamoxifen. Please continue with what you were going to tell us about tamoxifen.
Yes, so the treatment tamoxifen was marketed for vulnerable people with breast cancer, and it said it will stop it from coming back. So for that, a patient thinks that means remission. All right, but what they were saying, it will stop it coming back in the same breast or in the other breast. not that the cancer wouldn't come back. Now, I've been, as I said, 35 years treating patients, and I'm very clear about breast cancer patients. If it goes into the bones, normally it would show in one spot, and then maybe it would grow and maybe come in another spot. What I was seeing was that patients, young women who had been put on tamoxifen, if they were going to get the bone metastases, it would be throughout the skeleton. Just whoosh, right? So I thought, well, I'm just going to look at this. So in my work, I work with people, whatever they want to do. Obviously, they want to improve their odds. I'm not going to say to them, you shouldn't take tamoxifen. But if they want to unpack it and ask me, is it going to take me forwards, backwards, or nowhere at all? Then I will say, these are the so-called benefits, but these are the risks. And what tamoxifen does, it acts as an anti-estrogen in the breasts. So it stops your estrogen from feeding breast tissue, but it acts as a pro-estrogen in the bones, which means that if there's metastasis already started in the bones, then it will feed that.
And estrogen is a growth promotor. Estrogen is a growth promoter.
Yeah. So the other thing that it does is it tells the brain, it acts as an estrogen inhibitor in the brain, in an area which regulates the hormones. So the brain then thinks the ovaries aren't pumping out enough estrogen. So women who are on tamoxifen are over-estrogenized through their own estrogen.
Oh, my word. I'm saying my word, but I know this because I've read your documents. And that's why I didn't take it.
Yeah, absolute con. Total con.
So if you're a woman out there, or you've got a loved one who is on this drug, you could possibly take some notes from what Catherine's just said, and we'll give you all the details of where to find Catherine at the end. You could possibly enroll on her course and become a minister of healing in your own areas. You could possibly take this to your oncologist or your doctor and ask your doctor about this. Become your own health advocate and see what your doctor says. Because what I have personally found is the doctors tend to go, we've got no data on that. But they don't know. They don't know because they don't read the studies. They really don't. Most of them do not read the studies. They're lucky if they even read the abstract. They just read their bank account on how much they get paid for prescribing a particular drug by the pharmaceutical company that makes it, and they get their trip to Antigua if they hit targets. That's just fact. Prove me wrong. Anyway, Catherine, do continue. I'm just so glad I didn't take it. I'm alive and well and cancer-free 12 years later. I didn't touch it. How is that possible if they were right?
Oh, you were such a special patient, Kate. You were one of the very few that I called smart patients. And the thing about, you know, what we're asked to do as patients is to suspend the very thing that we do every day when we make any decision. So what a human being does is that we actually apply reason and logic. We have reference points. So, for example, let's say we're going to the hardware store because we've got a plumbing problem. We know what the problem is. We've got leaking tap. We know what we want fixing. We know we want it to stop leaking. So we're going to ask somebody for something that will fix the tap and make it stop leaking. And we're going to expect it to work. And if it doesn't work, we take it back and we'll say, what you sold me didn't work. All right. So we look at the probability. We weigh things up. We think, well, what's the odds of that particular thing that I'm about to buy taking me to where I want to go? Now, with you, Right. You had a lot of reference points, because what we're talking about are reference points. So you knew your starting point, right? Your starting point, and the starting point to most people is just a diagnosis. That is not the starting point. Understanding what that starting point means to you contextually, it's your story, your narrative, is what's is the point from where you're going to make your decision. So you knew with your starting point that your odds at 5 years were what, 2%, 5%?
Zero. It was zero. According to those three studies, it was 20% at 2 years if I did chemo, radio, tamoxifen, Zoladex surgery, and zero at five. The doctors didn't tell me that. I found it. Yeah.
So you knew your starting point. You knew your default end point. This is where you're heading, according to them. But you had a different end point. All right? You wanted cure. So what you and your husband did was you looked for something that had repeatable success. So it was the greatest odds of getting you from A to B, right? And mm-hmm. then you monitored to make sure you weren't going backwards, that it was working.
I did.
Because you were a smart patient, and that's all it takes. You don't have to be a medical genius or have a lot of medical knowledge. I mean, I had a patient once and he came to me. He got prostate cancer and he'd been to a naturopath and she'd said, she'd looked at his cells under the microscope and said, you know, you've got the cells of a 70-year-old. I'm going to put you on a program to get the cells looking healthy. So she put him on this program. He went back and she was monitoring that. And she said, oh, your cells are looking like an 18-year-old. You've done really well. And he looked at her and he said, but my PSA has gone up. And she said,
that's your prostate-specific antigen. It's the levels that they look for, fellas, in your blood when you've got a diagnosis of prostate cancer. I can personally tell you I've had three people come to me and I've given them advice. When I think it's over my head, I send them to Catherine and we've got their PSA right down by diet and everything. That was their choice. And they got that PSA right down, made it half every month. So that's very interesting. Please do continue, Catherine.
So this person then came to see me to have a moan about this naturopath and what was I going to do? And I said to him, I said, well, did you ever ask, did you ever say that you were coming to see her because you wanted your PSA to come down, you wanted treatment for your cancer? And he said, well, I would have thought that was obvious. All right. So he hadn't actually thought about his journey and his narrative. Now, if he'd said to her, this is what I want, and she'd said, oh, we're going to do this treatment to get your cells looking right, and then he would have checked in with her, if I do that, will my PSA come down? She would have had to have said, well, I'm not going in that direction. I'm going in my direction. And that's what happens, is that people end up going not towards their desired endpoint, but going to the endpoint of the practitioner.
All right. So and that practitioner could be the doctor, the oncologist who says, well, this is great. Your tumor shrunk, but sadly, your lymphocytes are through the floor. Your erythrocytes are through the floor and you die of pneumonia.
Exactly.
So the patient, so Dr. Gerson said, a true indication of the health of the patient is how are they at the bedside? And I love in your book when you talk about Mr. Vitality. Could you maybe touch on Mr. Vitality? Because I really like your analogy here, because it's a great thing for patients. And it resonated with my daughter as well.
Well, what we're doing, what Dr. Gerson had understood was that it was the capacity of a patient to respond to treatment that determines the outcome, not the treatment itself. So you can have two patients with the same illness, given the same treatment. One may respond well, the other may not respond at all. The difference between the two is the inherent capacity to heal oneself. So the actual Gerson therapy is focused on restoring the capacity of the cells or the inherent vitality of the cell through that process of detoxification and feeding the cells with the potassium. It's a very high potassium, very high alkaline program, which has that capacity to flush the toxins out. And Dr. Gerson said, I mean, the reason that we do it incrementally, if you like, it is still a really strong program, is that if a person was to dump all the toxins at once into the bloodstream, they would die from their own poisoning. So the actual process, and that's why it takes such a long time. A lot of people think that detoxification is an event. You know, I went on a detox 5 days.
Oh, gosh, no.
It's actually a process. And what I've found with patients, Dr. Gerson was able to get patients to a critical point within 6 weeks of going on the program. And that critical point was when he could see that the vital forces had reached a point where they could elicit a healing response or healing reaction. Healing reaction in this sense is a fever that is not provoked by an infection or the tumor. So the body creates that heating. And then he would say that if I can get a patient to that point, then I am sure that we will be able to get them to that point of cure. Now, when I'm treating patients, it can take up to 15 months to get the person to that point where the cells are vital enough. And when we're talking about cells, we're talking about the immune system as well. They're all cells. And the immune system has the highest requirement for regeneration. All right, so we are making them every day in the bone marrow, pumping out those red blood cells and the white cells and the lymphocytes. So if we're not nourished, that is the first system to fail. And of course, just coming back to the COVID, the mRNA vaccine, what that does is it blunts the immune system. So it switches it off. I'm just thinking about so many things, Kate, but there was a paper done in Japan with a lot of scientific evidence behind it. I followed Dr. John. I don't know if you, John Campbell, he's great.
Yes, he's a nurse. Yeah, a nurse.
And so he's really, and to watch him lose utter confidence in the health system. And he is a man of such integrity where he'd invested, he had an inherent trust at the beginning that there was no intent to harm. And then just watching it all fall away. But the latest is that this report has come from Japan, and it's actually, there's scientific proof that the booster, mRNA booster, is related to cancer, causing cancer.
Well,
so, we don't have that proof.
Yeah, I, just going back, Catherine, you know me very well. 2 years I started with 13 juices, which then went down to 11. At 5 years, I was still doing 9 juices a day and 2 to 3 coffee enemas. It took me 5 years. I think I must have had nearly 100 vaccines because I'd nursed, I'd flown for BA long haul. I mean, I was toxic. I saw those toxins. I smelled those toxins. I lived it and breathed it. So did the cats. So did the walls of my ensuite. I had amazing, catastrophic, toxic offloads. At 5 years, I got flu, which is a detox. And I had the highest temperature I think I'd ever had. I was delirious. I woke out of bed, couldn't put my arms down because my lymph nodes under both arms were enormous. They felt like golf balls. That went on. I staggered to the bathroom. I went back. This went on, this temperature, for several days. And then those lymph nodes shrunk to smaller than they've been since my diagnosis, both sides. For me, that was literally, it had taken me to that point. And I knew and I understood it because I'd read Dr. Gerson's book, which I continually read, and I learned something new. I'd ingested Catherine's book, which I continually read. But it took me to that point. I understand now that everyone is eating food that is not nutrient dense. It's only grown in potassium, phosphorus, and nitrogen. Everyone is poisoned with EMFs. Then we get onto the COVID shots, the bioweapons, and every other bit of this toxic world, which is where my AKA comes from, Kate Shimarani, Natural Nurse in a Toxic World. We're just going to have a quick word from our sponsors, and then we are going to come back because I am alive and well and cancer-free, 12 years on, declining all of those things, doing my due diligence. But I didn't just be the crashing wave hitting the shore, which I can tell you I was, all guns blazing. I had a calm sea force behind me, which was Catherine. So join me straight after the break. You're listening to me, Kate Shimarani, for TNT Live.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks.
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisisretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
Around here, bushfire is just a part of life. We've been through it before, and we'll get through it again. The people here all look out for each other. We're a community that does its bit to plan and prepare, to keep everyone safe. We live with bushfire, so we live bushfire ready.
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You're listening to me, Kate Shimarani, natural nurse in a toxic world for TNT. Just a quick reminder, the Weekend Truth Festival that is happening on the 3rd, 4th and 5th of May in Wokington near the Lake District. Apparently, you just bring a tent and a sleeping bag and your good vibes. There's food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, I'm not sure what that means, and amenities. And for more information, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. For all of you people that really want to get out there, and there's a bank holiday one as well, ran by Truth and Freedom Tribe and Danny Rampling. I love Danny Rampling. I do love that Danny Rampling. He's a DJ, and he's kind of from my era, quite old. Moby Bus Loop, All Night Acoustic Fire Pit, Bounty Castles, and it's Hope Sussex. I have been out and done lectures at Hope Sussex. It's fabulous. Please do get on there and look up Hope Sussex, and you will be amazed at what they're doing down there. I'm quite lucky because it's right near me. It's not very far from me because I live in the very expensive South because I'm posh. And my council tax is more than anybody's because they're bank robbing gits, funding wars. But anyway, that's just me adding my bit in. We're talking to a lady that guided me to you, really, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. And all of the truths that I learned along the way, I learned from her and her books and her papers. And I've brought her on today, and I'm looking at the chat in between when you see me looking down. Please forgive me. I'm multitasking. I'm a woman. But Catherine Alexander, who was just telling you there about tamoxifen, about you fellas PSE, you know, I always like to get erections into every show. It should be upright in the morning as you pole vault out of bed. Why isn't it? Because of your diet, because of toxicity, and probably because you believe that taking a blue Viagra pill is going to give you an erection for a little bit of time. Wouldn't you like to fix that erection? Because I can tell you, in these villages in outer yonder, in what we call third world countries, these blokes are siring babies in their 90s. They haven't got that problem. but 50% over 50 have here. Why? Because their diet. So you fix your diet, fix your toxicity, you'll fix your erection and your dry vaginas, ladies. Same thing. Catherine knows I wouldn't have my ovaries removed. I wouldn't take tamoxifen. Nothing wrong with my vagina or my sex drive or anything else. The only thing that's wrong in my life is I need a fella with big enough gonads to keep my gob shut. Anyway, Catherine, please tell us, what can people do? Because you've just given us two scenarios that should have blown the socks off everybody. You talk about being a smart patient. It's a great honor that you called me a smart patient. And just what I've mentioned, you suggested get your ovaries removed. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And I menopaused before both of my older sisters, 2.5 years into the Gerson therapy. I've never had a hot flush in my life. I've not had any of the symptoms of it. Because I followed your direction. I took a herb, freeing the sun, to clear the estrogen. I followed everything you told me to do to the T. What can people do to be a smart patient?
Well, do you know, it's really, really simple. Really simple. And I've been working on this method. So I call it the ready reckoner. Because what most people want to be able to do is to filter through treatments very rapidly to work out in principle, what are the odds of this product taking me to where I want to go? And you'll find that most products fall away. All right. So this whole journey for me started back in 2004. And I was ready to give up practice because I was absolutely fed up with patients coming with a bag full of products where they'd been to multiple practitioners. They put their bag on my desk and they say, well, I'm paying you now. You tell me what I should be taking. And it was like, I didn't prescribe it. Did you ever ask them what it was for and whether you could monitor to make sure that it was working? And it was like, well, no, I didn't. So what he does work in industry, but he's got a very clever methodology. And I looked over his shoulder and I said, oh my God, this is for solving wicked problems. My patients have a wicked problem because nobody knows what works. So this is what I've come up with is a model. I call it the Ready Reckoner program, where we write the narrative. The person writes their story. So we have contextual, we have the starting point. It's a journey roadmap. So we build your roadmap. Where am I now? Where am I heading if I do nothing? So we can find out the immediate or the inherent risks. Where would I like to be? And there's a few, so it's your aspirational endpoint, which is contextual to your life. What would you like to be experiencing? But there's also the medical endpoint. Do I want to be drug-free? Or do I mind being drug-dependent for life? So we have certain medical endpoints to choose from. And you'll find that from the risks, it's a risk mitigation model. So the things of where am I heading and how fast are the things you have to monitor. All right. So any treatments you choose have to show value for those things that you're monitoring. And you don't have to be a medical expert. Now, I tested this model out. So this has been through like 4 years of research. So this isn't a new model. So we tested it out in a very poor socioeconomic area in south of Brisbane. And the only criteria for people was that they had to be suffering from one or more chronic conditions, and they had to be want to be in a better place than they were currently and were currently heading. So that was it. And we didn't teach them anything. We didn't give them any medical lessons. We didn't give them dietary advice. We gave them the method. And, you know, 50% of that cohort had reduced their drug medications.
Amazing.
50%. And this wasn't through educating people. This was through switching on the logic that we apply in everything else except in medicine, in health.
This is fantastic, because what you're doing is you're empowering people.
Totally empowering people. But in a way, what was so beautiful was that it was because it comes from your narrative. And what we do with the narrative is we make sure that it's a narrative that enables a dialogue between you and your doctor. So the doctor then knows that you are mitigating your risks. It's like, for me, when a patient comes and they will want me to support them, whatever they're doing, they think, oh, you're a natural therapy, you must believe in all of this. And they want me to get in the car in the passenger seat, and they are driving blindfolded towards a brick wall. I will say, I need to get out of the car, because that person hasn't got their journey roadmap. They haven't got their narrative, and they don't know what their risks are. So what we found was that doctors were able to have a conversation with the patient, and they were able to say, yeah, I think you're right. You know, because I think
that might have gone a little bit now, because doctors now have to stick to guidelines that come down from non-medics in NICE in the UK. And if they differ from those guidelines, whether they agree with it or not, they're not insured, and they run, so they become legally and professionally not covered.
Yes, but if they can show that the person is making an informed choice, so the right of the patient still has a right to choose, to say no. If a patient is making an informed choice and they've had that dialogue with their practitioner, what it means is that you're not getting your doctor offside.
Yeah.
Means that
Which is always good, to keep them on side.
If you can monitor, and you can say to the, and the doctor will ride in that car with you.
That's what I did. And yeah, that's what my daughter is doing with her doctor, who does monitor with bloods.
Yeah. So, and I haven't taught you the method, but in my reports, if you like, you'll, once you've understood this, you'll see, oh, there's the threads. That's how she does that. You know, when I say, oh, think about this, or is that what you want? Or, you know, just pulling out some of the key reference points.
May I give people an example? I'll give you a personal one, because it's a good way to see where I did trust Catherine. I was doing mistletoe injections when I was first diagnosed. And what that does is it pushes the body to have a high temperature. And I would get this not particularly high, but then I would be wiped out. And Catherine said to me, well, you're pushing the body possibly before it's ready. And Dr. Gerson liked to bring the body to its point. I went away. I ruminated on this. I read some more of Dr. Gerson's book. And I stopped the mistletoe injections. And it was the correct thing to do for me. How do I say that? Because I'm still here today. And, you know, I had my doctor on side, and what was a good thing about, and my consultant was on side as well. I sacked the oncologist, sacked him immediately, because I realized that was not going to take me to a good point, because he was encouraging me to have more bone scans. I only had one bone, because I realized that was not going to take me to a good point, because he was encouraging me to have more bone scans. I only had one bone scan in my life. And I didn't see that, as I wasn't going to do their treatment regardless of what happened, why would I then take the iatrogenic effects, the disease-causing effects of that much radiation? Because that might possibly not take me to where I wanted to be, alive and well, for my children. So does that kind of gives it a human perspective, right?
It does. It does. I mean, I've got a patient at the moment who's got lymphoma, and he had cancer in the past, not this particular one. No, he's got lung cancer. He had lymphoma in the past, and he had radiation treatment, And where he had that radiation treatment, so it's like 10 years after the event, we've got a new cancer. And this is something that they never talk about to patients by saying, oh, you know, that's long way down the track. They're like bookkeepers. You know, if you go to, if your business is in trouble and you're about to go bankrupt, and you go to a bookkeeper and the bookkeeper says, oh, just give me your last 3 months' receipts. All right. And I'll just do your VAT for you and you'll be fine. You know that you're heading for a crisis, and just doing the short term tax returns isn't going to get you out of that crisis. You want to go and see an accountant who's going to look at the whole thing and is going to give you a very structured plan on budgeting to get you to where you need to be. That's the role that patients have to, they have to have a roadmap so they can follow that compass and not the compass of the practitioner that could take them further away.
That's what we're seeing everywhere.
They're just bookkeepers, short term. And of course, it fits the whole thing of this commoditization of ill health. Because what, you know, in the marketing, when I was talking to pharmaceutical reps, they talk about side effects of drugs as good marketing for the next drugs. So for them, it's good if a drug has side effects because you
Let me just repeat that. These pimps, the drug reps, the pimps, talk about side effects that could be deadly being good as marketing for the next drug. Are you all hearing this, people? Your body is the cash cow, and there ain't no one coming to save you unless you switch on your God-given right to walk in authority over your own health. Catherine, where can people find you? Where can people sign up? Okay. Where can people camp on your front lawn?
So I'm going to put this course up tomorrow. It's the Ready Reckoner course. So if you look, if you go to the website dietaryhealing.com.au, because I'm based in Australia, you can contact me from there. You can get on the mailing list. But that course is going to be up and running within a month, and it'll be 3 weeks. So that's just 3 hours. You get all your roadmaps. You learn how to use the model, how to apply it. And we need to start thinking. You know, we are, I get very passionate about this because I would have thought that things would get better with the more disease. We can see we're going in the wrong direction. It's like for all the drugs we're taking, we are in a worse position. So why is it that it's only a minority of people who can see that? Why is it that we've become so groomed that we can't actually see the truth of what's happening, and even protecting our children? I mean, that's the bottom line.
Fantastic. You've been listening to me, Kate Shamarani, natural nurse in a toxic world, and the incredible Catherine Alexander. She will be coming back on because we're just going to keep picking topics. You can email me if you wanted to talk about a topic. Trust me, she knows all the topics. KateShamarani@tntradio.live. So what's been happening to you folks? You have been groomed by the pimps and the tyrants in power. We've seen the police acting as agents of the state, and we've seen the entire healthcare system, or the National Homicide Service, as I like to call it, working for these tyrants and gangsters, because it is population triage. They don't see you as human. They see you as money. How much money can they squeeze out of every last drop of blood? You know how you end up winning this? You put your faith in yourself. You learn how to do it. And then you'll be listening to me next week, next year, in 10 years, because we'll all be alive and thriving, welcoming Mr. Vitality back into our homes. Do this course. Everybody should do it. Share it among your friends and family, and you will be empowered. And that's why I'm as gobby as I am, because I'm empowered by Catherine. Thank you so much, all of you, and I'll see you all next.